Father, thank you for your protection and provision for these weeks. Sheldon's back, enabling him to be back with us again. Help him with that. And that speaks of countless others that some we know, some we don't, of things that have come up that have made the things in our lives, that much fuller, that much, it's the testing of our faith, like we'll talk about here as we work our way through these characteristics. Would you help us, Father? Because regardless of what's going on in our lives, if we're yours, we have a responsibility to look to you, to live God-dependent lives in a way that we can look back and say, and give you praise every day, because we've seen you, your hand at work. We've seen you act in accordance with your character, and we've been living by your precious and magnificent promises. So pray for your hand tonight as we dig into your word. Help us to be prepared to repent, to notice who you are, to worship, see where we're out of line, and to redirect our focus, and then to walk. Then, as we come to pray together, to pray for your kingdom to come and your will to be done, and then to continue with the work you have for us. Thank you for opportunity tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in a book calling for the life of godliness in the face of false teaching. Right from the greeting, there was a high calling and an identity for those who are in Christ. This relationship between God and man, tying all the believers together, is the primary thing on Paul's mind as he begins, showing the glorious glories of God's calling. Seeing his divine power is granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. How did he call us, bringing about this relationship? By his own glory. How do you see his glory? Through his excellence. What is the saving part of his power that we see? That those he called, he granted what is needed to perceive him as glorious, that his beauty captures us. Since I've been with you, we sat in a class with Dr. Tom Schreiner last week, which was a big honor. And Tom Schreiner, in his commentary, reminded us, in other words, when Christ calls people to himself, they perceive the beauty and loveliness of God's moral character. His character becomes exceedingly attractive to them, and they trust God for their salvation. Grace and peace are multiplied as we believe and live in light of seeing his beauty and the beauty of what he has done for us. This leads to us seeing the glories of God's faithful enablement. For by these, seems to refer to his glory, the glory of God seen through his excellent works. By these are the very means by which we are granted that we see that his precious and magnificent promises are for us. These aren't just words, these promises. They lead to a life change. There's two identifiers. We become partakers of the divine nature. As we see his glory through the resulting promises, it brings about change in our life, fellowship in his divine nature. Characteristics of the divine start being seen, which enable us to, secondly, escape the corruption that is in the world by lust. This is a living salvation here, a life, not just getting out of hell. It's a life of fellowship with God. The focus is not merely on the transaction. The focus is on the God who gives life, and then the life we are enabled to live by God himself. Now, for this very reason. What reason? God has given the power to live godly lives. Now, verses 5 to 9, Christians need to live godly lives. Strong language. Applying all diligence, all effort. The word speaks of earnestness, a zeal, seriousness. It's the idea of haste. Do it now. Applying all diligence. The kind of faith that comes from God, that sees God as described in verses 3 and 4, is the kind of faith that, you remember Hebert said, is the seedbed out of which Christian character grows. Kistemacher says that Christian lives are lived virtuously by claiming God's promises and avoiding the corruption of the world. God has done, God has provided for us, has provided, you live in light of what God has provided for us. And we've got to think about what it looks like practically to live claiming God's promises. What promises did you think of God giving you today? How would that help you to avoid the corruption of the world? Well, then we said that it's very important. We're going to say this again and again and again, that you see that the connection between verses 3 and 4 to the attitude found in the first part of verse 5. You must see it. You must see it. We'll keep talking about that connection. Because we thought about Hebert's description. He said, we need to have all diligence. You know what that means? This is 2 Peter 1. All diligence means not an initial spasm followed by chronic inertia. You're all excited about God, and then you fall apart. You just kind of like go about everything else. Not necessarily your life falls apart. It's you fall apart with your focus on God in a way that you're actually changing. How does that happen? This is what you said about 2 or 3 weeks ago or whenever that was. That why would we start living with an initial spasm, meaning you're excited about God, you grow, and then it ends with chronic inertia. It just, you can't get moving. You feel like you're stuck in a rut. Well, you look and think on these things. We must abandon sluggishness, self-indulgence, not be selective with the parts of God we're going to take. Not half-hearted. This attitude of all diligence is the natural response when we see God like he's described in verses 3 and 4. It moves us to action. And remember what Nisbet said? This is a faith which grips God for pardon, for forgiveness, and strength, and daily flies to him for both. It grips Christ for forgiveness and for strength, and daily flies to him for both. Are you heading that direction? Heading that direction. Seeing God present and working and his salvation giving you purpose and part in that doing. Nothing in God's creation is just blah or for you to just say, I don't know, Taco Bell or Wendy's. Can't do that. He's going somewhere. You need to join him in what he's doing. And how does this all diligence live? It's lived specifically at character level. See, we started this whole series, the God of relationship, in verses 3 and 4. Now we come to the life of relationship, and it's lived wholeheartedly. It's lived specifically at character level. In your faith, supply. This is not a naked faith. It's not just, I believe in Jesus. It's not a naked faith. No, it's James 2:20. Are you willing to recognize, you foolish fellow, that faith without works is useless? Works toward what? Sweats toward what? These things that we're going to look at in 2 Peter 1 accompany saving faith. Remember this chain here that we're going to go through in verses 5 to 7? Remember, it's called a so writes. It's a literary device where something is added and it seems to move toward a climax. Now, as David brings out in his commentary, it seems that this form is there for presentation rather than a logical development. You know what I mean? It works well to set it up this way. We looked at Romans 5 that has it's set up the same way. It takes the last characteristic and adds the next one, and adds. Okay, but the fruit of the Spirit doesn't do that. It just gives a list of characteristics. But the point here, while some flow from each other and they're a little dependent on one another, there's something related that ties them together, but the specific order doesn't seem to be the focus. It seems to be that all of these, kind of like the fruit of the Spirit, all of these are going to be growing and increasing in the life of the Christian, all a result of conversion. You trust in Christ, these characteristics are going to start showing more in your life. Green notes that this list of virtues reflects the worldview of the teacher of virtue. So remember we talked about the benefactor? He's graciously given us all these things in verse 3 and 4. Okay. So if these virtues reflect the teacher's virtue, the focus on the good benefactor, the one who's graciously giving us everything, is going to lead us to display his character. Display the character in line with our noble birth. So we come to this list. In your faith, supply moral excellence. In your moral excellence, knowledge. 2 Peter 1:5. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, love. Okay, before we dig into these, I've got homework done on a bunch of these. Go ahead. Look at them all together, and how would you characterize these? What would be important or necessary if you focused on these? What accompanies these character qualities? But the main question is, how would you characterize these seven characteristics? Go ahead. You're looking at 2 Peter 1, 5 through 7. How would you characterize them? Go. Don't solve it. Put something on the table. Yeah, Holly, go. Is that me? Is that you? Whoa. Okay. Tim, you can go after your wife. Then, all right. Go ahead. Yeah.
Like those, none of those things.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, do you just like
yeah.
start out with a bent toward that? That all requires effort on your part.
You look at a baby and say, do you have knowledge, baby? Right? Right? But then look at that. Do you have self-control, baby? Right? You have perseverance. Do you have godliness? Okay? These are things that you're not, all right, not born with. And yeah, we're not just saying the baby thing. These are not things that she's saying we're just going to fall into. Not born with don't fall into. There we go. What do you got? All right, Nicole, and then Jim.
You also can't just, like, jump from, like, one... Like, jump in and be like, oh, I definitely have love before I have brotherly affection. I definitely have godliness before I have steadfastness. These aren't, like, it's a process to get through these all.
Okay, they build, all right? Remember saying some will say that they're a chain, that they come in order, but some will say as you dig into that, you realize it's not always a clean order, but we're saying they require, how about we say prerequisites? Requisites. We're going to talk about that as we dig through. Require prerequisites, a process. You don't just walk into these. You don't just buy these. Jim, go.
I know you told us that these all go together like the fruit of the Spirit.
Right.
But when you first look at it,
right.
It looks like a progression.
Fine.
All the
That's
way up
called
to the last.
So rights. It's a literary device.
The last attribute would be love.
Go. What?
The last attribute would be love, which
right.
is a key.
Right.
Characteristic.
Right. Okay. And so even the guys that I'm reading all over on this are saying, okay, whatever's going on in the middle, all of these are a part. They're saying, as you look at Scripture, Scripture's always going to start with faith. Now, in this list, faith isn't just one of the list. Faith is saying, this is what faith includes, all right? So all of these come from faith, but they said the only one here that seems to have the climax is love itself, all right? Love is the center, is the 1 John, we'll work on that, the Christian is characterized by love, okay? So these are things that are precious, and as you look at the different lists, kind of like faith, hope, and love, depending on the lists in Scripture, they're put in different order, but there's certain things that keep coming up. And we're going to see as we get to the end of this that a lot of these are just fruits of the Spirit. No, go ahead, Nicole.
Well, I just wanted to kind of clarify mine. It wasn't even necessarily that they build on each other. You can't pick and choose. They all are needed. You can't be like, okay, I really, really need to work on loving. Oh, I really, really right. need to work on this.
Yes. Okay, so all are required. All are required. Okay, Sandy, go.
Take it back to verse 3 where
yeah.
it says, pertaining to life and godliness
yeah.
through the true knowledge of him. So everything we see there is Christ-like.
Okay, the true knowledge of him.
His character.
Because look where it ends in verse 8. Look at that. Neither if these qualities are yours and increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So she's right. It's at the front there. It's at the back. It's saying all of it is the direct. You cannot grow in knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ without having these. Okay? So, where are we? Oh, Crystal, over here, up right up here. Okay?
I was noticing that all of these qualities are worked out or enhanced by being with other people. Moral excellence, you work mm-hmm. that out through being with other people. Knowledge, you need other people. Mm-hmm. You know, self-control, that's how you deal with people. Perseverance is other people trying to stop you and you continuing. You know, it's all of these mm-hmm. godliness, you're showing that to other people. It's
yeah.
all of these things are how we're interacting with other people.
With other people. Displayed before people. We're going to come to that. That same word for excellence, his own glory and excellence. We're coming to that same word of now you show that excellence, right? That excellent character. So as we come through this, if how can it be shown, right? If a tree falls in the wood, does anybody hear it? That kind of game, all right? If you have all these excellent deeds, who sees it? You go, well, I don't know. The angels saw it, all right? Okay, but it's before. It's in the face. It's out. It's exposed, all right? Those that are the truth come to the light so their deeds may be seen as having been wrought in God. You don't want your deeds on display? Men love darkness rather than light. You should get used to be inspected. That's normal. You say, everybody's judging me wrong. Just live in front of them, right? Pastor John has said that many times, all right? Mud's going to be thrown at you. Make sure it doesn't stick. If it sticks, own up. Own up. That's godly, too, to own up to it. Okay, move on. What do you got? Mom, Jody, and everybody else after that. Okay, no, good job.
It is a very high standard.
Okay.
And there has to be a lot of drive, which only the Holy Spirit can give us that drive.
All right. Very high standard. Just like as you go like to what Holly had said, it's like you're not born with these. You don't fall into these. All right. So not only it's like, all right, well, I'm going to make every effort to head to these. There seems to be a lot of exits along the way. A lot of exits because it's a very high standard to be able to hold in front of you. And we'll talk about that. Jody.
If a person has these qualities, I was thinking that they actually bring Christ into their situations.
Okay.
They bring Christ into their workplace, into, you know, their home, into anything that they're doing with their neighbors. They're bringing something really good into a room when they have these things.
Situations. Okay. Now, you guys are doing well. You're looking at these qualities not by themselves. You're looking at them in the setting that they're placed in. So if they come from as a result of the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, then these are the result of bringing Christ into the situation. You, let your light shine before men. They may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Why they glorify your good Father who is in heaven? Because they came from him. We'll keep talking about that. Anything else here? How would you characterize these seven? Luke, back there. Yeah, go.
The wording,
yeah,
where it says, in your faith, supply
right.
moral excellence, and then that chain goes on. Like, what does that mean? Like, in this characteristic, supply this. I think the other versions have, like, to this, add this, or something.
Okay.
Like, what is the
The add this
that?
Is that literary form that it's saying, okay? That it is, the literary form is to build on to the last one, okay? As we're going through this, as they argue back and forth, some will say it builds. You're going to get lost if you miss this. Well, I'll tell you why at the end, all right? We're going to argue about free will and other stuff like that. I'm going to throw that in here. Man's responsibility, God's place, okay? But what they're saying is in your faith supply, okay? In your faith, the faith that was in verse 1, right? To those who have received faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Okay? So this kind of faith, and this is where they said, is not a naked faith. This faith, all right? So because he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, you may become partakers of the divine nature. How? Remember we had that long quote about this is an ontological focus? Remember that big word? Ontology is being, where we said, if anyone's in Christ, he is a new creation. Yeah, fine. We were saying this is a living gaze. Sometimes this thing of I'm defeated by my sin is okay. Remember, you have forgotten your former pure, whatever that says in there. Yeah, that. And I'm going to get to that. This is so like 2 weeks from now when I was working on this, all right? And it was saying that it's not the mental, oops, I forgot. It says you're not living inside of that practical reality. This is yours. This is the focus of this faith. Remember we said in here, as we're going to wrestle with this, these characteristics, do them. You don't, there's a good chance you're not his. If these aren't growing, we're going to say that. Where do they come from? They are all products of his divine power granting to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. So now we're going to take this faith, right? I believe. Okay, now we're going to dress this faith. This faith is not alone. They were saying it's not a naked faith. Here it is. Let's go look at it, the different aspects of this faith. What else are you going to say about these characteristics? Where is it? Anybody else? Go.
There's a few things that seem to be going on, and the one is it seems to connect with the making your election and calling sure, which is part of what you touched on there, but and also the power. Gee, I sound like I'm just repeating you here. But there's something that drives that if we are his, if we're made in his image, we can't help but have something through the Holy Spirit working in us that does not let us alone regarding these things. It's okay. Not something of ourselves. It's like, yes, people can think of these and make themselves work on them, but for the full effect of what it is and what it brings about, what Jim touched on, the end right. result with love there, like, right. there's definitely a God aspect going on here that, right. that we cannot accomplish on our own, but if we are his, these things in an imperfect way will be germinating, will keep coming okay. back up. And then with what Nicole had started also was the fact about, I think I lost that one now. The concept of the process is that each one of these is its own process. Like, it's not just a directional following them together, but it's a lifelong process. We will never fully okay. accomplish each and every one of them or any one of them, that we will always be in flux with them and need to focus on moving forward.
Okay, so 3 and 4, 8, 9, 10, 11 are saying everything he's saying, that these are going to be part of it, all right? But so stay just with these characteristics. Look at those characteristics first, okay? Because what I'm going to ask are these part of your day-to-day? What were you thinking of them today? Everything else you're saying, all right? I told you, the second time I teach this is going to be a lot clearer and probably a lot quicker, okay? This is for me as much as it is for you. I feel the weight of studying all this stuff. And so I've got piles. I've got like 8-10 commentaries I'm looking through as opposed to checking out other cross-references and other things. And so everything you're talking about is so 8 and 9, is so 10 and 11, 8 and 9. I got pages of stuff on that stuff, okay? Right in here, these are the things that are supposed to be coming out of you. Tell me about these things. I don't care how they get there. Tell me about them. Anything about them? They will be there. It will be God. Everything else you're saying, they will come in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But tell me about these characteristics. Anything else? Go ahead, Stan.
He starts off this last verse that we're going over now for this reason. And what is that reason? It's because he has given these promises to us through his power. It's like they're not just to make us better. It's like this seems to be one of the things of why he has given it to us, because we need to be molded into his image. He hasn't just saved us for the right. sake of saving us, but this is the work that he's called us to right. because he has saved us.
Right. That's right. That's the whole building. That's the culmination of this whole thing. Now we're here. Verse 5 to 7. Tell me what the bricks are. The actual bricks. Go ahead, Nicole.
They're hard.
Thank you. They're hard.
Stated as absolutes. It's not virtuousness. It's not being affectionate. It's not being loving. It's absolutes.
Love. Brotherly kindness. Moral excellence. Do you want somebody looking at you and saying, here's a holy God. You be like holy God. Mom. Boundaries. You look. Yeah, we'll get this mic thing yet, right? Heather? we'll get it, all right? The boundaries, okay. But anything else you want to say about them together? Luke.
Or maybe you'll explain like what the difference is. Like moral excellence sounds like godliness.
Right.
And brotherly kindness and love seem like there's some overlap there.
Right, right. So there's nuances in here that you know, as you look at us, as we're going to go and look at the spectrum, like he said, these seem to be close to each other, but all of them seems, you know, do you want to study philosophy or psychology? You know, what kind? You know, we did cognitive psychology last week. I learned all about me and I learned all about you in that class. That was amazing. Okay? And it started off with a Dude Perfect. We watched an episode of Dude Perfect in that class to help us with stereotypes. Okay? And these are similar, but they're all they're hard. So like he said, we're going to nuance them, and that's what we did homework on them. But realize you're called to do all of that, right? Where is it? Olga, it's Crystal. Wherever that mic is. Okay.
Even though Nicole said that they are absolute and there is an absolute definition by God, we all believe we have some sense of moral excellence, some sense of knowledge and self-control. It's very easy for each person to make their own definition as to what these are.
So, how many of you got whoopie pies at the Shady Maple whoopie pie thing? Did anybody in here? You didn't? Nobody.
What are you talking about?
No, I'm sorry. How many different flavors were there? 52 different flavors of whoopie pies. This is their second year doing that? No. See? Well, see, you all know it exists, and you didn't go down there? For key lime? For raspberry, for mocha, for carrot cake? Come on. Chocolate? No, come on, you boring people. No, you go down. Now, I'm eating hard ones because they were left preserved for me while I was going on the college trip, so they're like little extra crunchy. All right? But okay, you know, as she it's so easy. What makes a good whoopie pie? And you go, none of them. None of them are good, okay? You know, but so what do you care about? Remember? I told you, you're going to make me meatloaf? I don't like it. I like my wife's. That's not, all right? There's other things I might like yours better, all right? But I like my wife's meatloaf, all right? She has the right balance of meat and loaf in it, right? Okay? Yours doesn't, okay? And mine has pepper jack cheese in the middle of it. That's where I got my kidney stone from, right? No, see, whatever. It's like, it's easy. See, all this garbage. Crystal's going, well, we got some moral excellence. I got some moral excellence. What are you looking at me? See, all this disgusted disdain comparison comes because it's very easy with every single one of these to go, I'm loving, but I'm more loving than you're loving. I'm not loving like God's loving, but I'm more loving than you're loving, right? So with every single one of these, it's easy to determine our own definition. Okay, and I don't know. Why don't we just say it's enough? Okay, that's good. That's good. I'm doing pretty good. What is it, Olga? Yeah, go. Yeah.
It's so sad, but it looks like there's always more. It's like when we think we have, you know, whatever self-control. No, we need perseverance in that. When we think we have whatever. So it just, we can't be, you know, content with where we are. We have to be growing more.
Always more. never there. So you said they were hard. That's why I brought up whoopie pies, right? I didn't even know whoopie pies existed till I come out here. And when you say free, that's why I know whoopie pies exist, because they gave you free for your birthday, right? So it's like, whatever this is free. I'm going to eat it. Remember, they tried to do rice cakes or something a few years ago, and it was like nobody ate them, so they went back to the free whoopie pies. Remember that? Okay? And that's what, with these, then I said, well, which kind do you like? And you're like, I don't know. I don't care. Okay? But here, with when you come to these character qualities, all right, the standard is always higher, all right? No matter, you cannot reach and say, this is the best. All right, it's always higher. What do you got? Who is it? Wherever, go.
It's interesting to me. They're not just attributes, characteristics that we're supposed to have, just to have. They are all, like faith, they're actions, something that we are supposed to be living out, okay. Not just having it as a trophy.
There you go. They're living. Like Crystal said, they're around people. They're to be displayed. They're to be seen, okay? What's in your closets? Not the junk, but the things that you thought, I want to keep this. If I go in your closet, all right, not the embarrassing stuff, but the stuff that you're like, no, don't throw that away. Okay? What is that? Okay? These things aren't stuff that you accumulate. You live these. You do these. This is what you, this is, I can see this, remember? His own glory and excellence. That was really cool to me to discover that as we studied here. I've always wondered what glory is. Is it just bright and shiny and scary? All right? He said, no, something that's glorious, it has weight, all right, is seen by specific acts. That this is what God did that's glorious, right? When he goes to Job, right, he says, did you put the foundations of the earth, right? Did you lead Leviathan like a pet? All right? All those different things. That's glorious. That's his excellence. So these things are to be seen. They're to be it's to be acted out. What you got? And then I'm about done. Charles, go.
It seems like at least after the faith part of the list, it's some of them feed on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like knowledge helps to define moral excellence.
Mm-hmm.
It can be easy, like you were saying, to make up something that's supposedly moral excellence, but, you know, true knowledge will help to understand what that is.
Mm-hmm.
And likewise with brotherly kindness and love. Mm-hmm. Brotherly kindness seems like it sounds more like giving the actions of loving, whereas, you know, love really feeds that. And, mm-hmm. of course, love comes from God.
Right. So they're intertwined. And that's why they said, be careful about just saying this one leads to this, because you're going to find yourself going back on yourself through that whole list and going, well, wait a minute, in order to have this, you're going to need this, you're going to need this, you're going to need this. And then we're going to talk as we go through this list, you're going to need other things to get these things. Okay? We'll talk about that in a little bit. So see this here, to see this working together. I'll come back to that later in the study. Is there anybody else? And then I'm going to, Cindy, Hannah, like I said, anybody else? Everybody, if you haven't talked, raise your hand. Okay? Now, this is great. You're finally getting it.
Just real quick. These are the things that God's kingdom values.
Yes.
And I thought of First Peter chapter 1, where he says, the proof of your faith being more precious than gold. These are what prove your faith.
Valued in God's kingdom. You know, now that's talking about what the rest of you guys were talking about, as none of these are to be seen apart from God, okay? And God's power and all the other stuff we're going to come to that's around that. As you look at these things, these are precious. That's why I wanted you to sit here a little bit. If you can go through your day and not think about these things, well, what are you thinking about that's precious in God's kingdom? These belong in there. Hannah.
Kind of going off of what Jonathan said about it not being a trophy thing, that it's like all these things in daily life, you can't just say, oh, I did that and then be done. They have to be maintained and sought after and pursued, and has to be done through God's power.
Remember through COVID, I was so happy I had all that time to work on my yard, right? It's not my God. It doesn't look very nice. But remember, I weeded the whole thing. I mulched the whole thing. And that lasted for what? 3 weeks? 4 weeks? I did it again. And then I did it again. After a while, that God, I'm done with that God. That's too much work to do the God of getting all the weeds out of your life. These things aren't something you're once and done. That's why I said if you're not thinking on these. Now, that's why, yes, everything everybody else was saying about it comes from God, it's not from us, and these are natural from the Holy Spirit, all that other stuff, we'll come to that. But before you get to all that stuff, and it's not legalism, and it's all that other stuff, you just got to look at these. These are precious. These are precious. Hold them up. Study them. We're going to talk about them. Okay? Maintained. Focus. Constant focus. Valuable. Like what she said about they're part of God's kingdom. Jody, here we go. This will work.
I was thinking that they ought to be so much greater than examples we might see in the world, because right. We have new life in Christ and we have the Holy Spirit empowering us. And so, like, I was thinking, well, a Boy Scout has perseverance, but ours should be more than that and maybe sustained further. They ought to be marking us apart from those who are not saved.
Right. Let your light shine before men, they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father. How would they glorify their Father? When there's something beyond you. See, that's why, do I use hell too much? Yes, I do. Not about the place that we're all going if we're not with God, but if I said this feels like hell, it's not hell. It's not hell, right? You know that? I know that. But we say, well, I don't know, it seems like hell. But you say that so much that after a while, hell doesn't mean anything other than a bad day, right? Well, the same thing if I go, well, she's loving like Jesus. And she should be able to say, I want to be like Jesus, but I'm not loving like Jesus. Right? And that's not a put down. That's looking higher. She's constantly looking. Not that I have already attained it or have already become perfect, but I press on to lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Right? That I may know him. And there's the true knowledge again. The power of his resurrection, the fellowship of suffering, being conformed to his death, so that I may attain to the resurrection for the dead, right? Philippians 3. So this is so much greater. So should you be like Christ? Yes, but she's the sweetest person I ever know. Yet he's sweeter, right? We're talking about this in relationship with God, not in relationship with each other. So Christians are so, who cares if Christians are so whatever? It's the Christ that they're looking at, that he's conforming us to the image of his son. Anybody? Nope, I can't. What? Verse 8? You can't have 8.
Which one is it?
No, because you know what? I got to here, and I have down here and to the back, and that was before I get to 8.
It's 7. It's 7.
You can have 7.
Okay, thank you. There's something positive in this, that he gives us these concrete things to do, because sometimes we get caught up in not being able to see the intangibles in the faith, and not that we want to put our faith in these things,
right?
But by giving us something to focus on directly,
yes,
we know that we are useful and becoming more useful, and we know that we're a part of his kingdom, and we can look at them in a measurable way, not as a, oh, good, look at me, I've achieved this, but just by his gracious confirmation that we are able to relate in him in this way, that it's a blessing to us to be able to look at it.
Yeah. Whose is this? Nobody knows? Nobody knows? It was sitting up on the pulpit. I didn't think it belonged up there. All right. But, you know, I was thinking about what are you doing when you try to attract a kid with a rattle or something? A rattle is a distraction, right? I don't know. I guess you can look at this your whole life, right? But what we're saying is, and then you grow up and you move past that. Well, then what are you looking at? And now he's telling you something that's good, something tangible that you value these things. This whole thing of they're not fair and why is there evil in the earth and all this stuff. As we're going to see in this whole passage, his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. There is life in a way that is pleasing to God. And these things are right in the center of them. How much weeding have you done around these things? Where's the display light behind these things? Yes, you can focus on you. We'll talk about that and say, I'm more amazing than they are. And all. Yeah, we got all that. At the end of the day, these are part of God's display case. These are on display in the lives of Christians. You got it? Anything else? Okay, here, let's just get a little bit into it. Ready? So let's take the obvious that we've talked about some of this. And let me just, now, here's what I found as I dug, all right? Moral excellence. Moral excellence. What part of your faith, right? This is, let's look at the moral excellence part. This is the word goodness, like Luke said. It's very similar to that word godliness. But here, specifically in Greek, this is that word arete, all right? The same one that was in verse 3, all right? That his own glory and excellence, okay? His own glory and excellence. I'm looking at the footnote in my Bible. Yeah, I believe it's that one. All right. It's applied to Christ in verse 3. Now it's applied to the growing believer. Excellence, mastery in a field. Here we're talking about mastering morally. Calvin says, a life rightly formed. Life as it was meant to be. Properly fulfills its purpose and function. You think of that with Adam and Eve in the garden, all right? They were living properly in every way. Green notes, deeds worthy of public mention. So like Stan is saying, something tangible, generosity toward others, surpassing what the normal constraints of duty demand. Are you known for doing everything expected of you? This is talking about surpassing what is the normal constraints of duty. Are you known for doing what everybody expects? Saying that they lived a life worth living. No, this is living beyond that. Focusing on how the attitude of the heart lives among others. Not just your outside deeds, but how your attitude lives among others. You are socially engaged. Like Crystal said, it's before others. Nisbet, remember the Puritan guy, he brought out the reality that we need other virtues to head in this direction of living a life worthy of public mention. For you to surpass what the normal constraints of duty demand. Can you think of some other virtues needed for you to grow in moral excellence? Something that is seen, something that is tangible, that people go, that is living. That is how it's supposed to be lived. What other virtues do you need to grow in moral excellence? Can you think of any? Just list them. You need. You probably even need a mic for this, especially if you call it out loud. You need what? Honesty. You need honesty. You can't grow in moral excellence without honesty. What do you need? Just call it out. You need patience. You're not just painting. This is a painting that's above, right? You're not working with somebody. You're caring. You need patience. Pete, they're not like you, right? You need patience if it's going to be worthy of public mention. Jim, integrity, right? It's solid. How many of you watch the State of the Union? Don't raise your hands. All right? So how many listen to the responses of it? Go to one news channel after the X afterwards to see what everybody said about the State of the Union, right? See, we all look funny, right? It's like, well, yeah, it was amazing. It was all great. It was like, no, it wasn't. It wasn't all great. It was all lies. No, stop that all or nothing talk and start going and saying, say specific things about the State of the Union. But then you go, was there integrity in that room? Not just the person speaking. I've never seen so many, like, catcalls from the floor, okay? So then you sit there and go, well, what about respect? What about whatever's right or wrong? I don't know. Integrity. What else? I'm sorry, go, Taryn. Wisdom. Like Charles said, see, knowledge is tied in here. We're going to talk about that. But you can't have moral excellence without applying this true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A couple others? Think on this. What we're doing, we're lifting up this characteristic called moral excellence. We didn't have any problem when we said we'd see God's glory through Jesus' moral excellence. Now we go, no, you put all your effort toward moral excellence. You go, what, in comparison with him? What do you need? Okay, this moral excellence, so he's saying, back to the opposite of what Crystal said. She goes, there's a lot of exits where you can go, yeah, I got love, at least more than you, or everybody tells me I'm really loving, right? That's why I love that one. I think I asked Tim before. It's 1 Thessalonians, right, that praises them for their love and then tells them abound still more, right? When's the last time somebody told you that was an amazing dinner you made? You can do better, right? I've never tasted anything like this. I think you can do better next time, right? And that's what he's saying. He's saying, you're known for your love. It's being heard everywhere else. They'll love more, right? And you're like, oh, yeah, well, I got it. It's God. It's love. But here, you need a standard outside of you. Anything else? So you need humility. What's humility, man? Let's get this straight then. Humility's not putting yourself down. It's seeing yourself rightly, right? So here, it's seeing yourself in relationship to God. If you go, I'm the worst, no, you're not the worst. Okay? Say, you know, I'm doing okay. No, I don't know. Who determined? You need a standard outside of you, okay? And then we better figure out what this word humility means, because it's all over the Bible and you need it for this. Anything else? Trustworthy. When you think about honesty, then you tie that. See, all these words are tying together. You put these words together. These are all on the spectrum, okay? Back to what Stan said, that you can't fudge on these things. Time management, ability to focus, to break down your task and to follow it through to completion. You need things like that. How do you do with time management? Ability to focus, to break down a task and follow it through to completion. But then you also need these following, like Charles brought out here. I'm going to move on here. You need knowledge, the ability to discern God's will and orient one's life in accordance with that will. It's like Taryn said, wisdom, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? I was working just on a little bit with my kids today in Proverbs 8, all right? Wisdom calls out, right? Understanding lifts her voice. So I asked my kids, why is wisdom calling out? Why does wisdom have to call so loudly? Hello? You know, and then it goes on and tells us that wisdom is with kings and wisdom is with the nobles. You go, ooh, good, I want to be with the kings. Well, why is he calling? Because nobody's listening. There's something else that's holding their attention, okay? Stop, you naive ones. He calls out, don't be simple. Don't be a fool. So we get to talk about my favorite topic, all right, about whether you're a fool. And my kid again said, then I can call people stupid. I said, you call people stupid by holding God's hand. You hold God's hand, and if he tells you they're foolish, fine, you can say they're foolish. You hold his hand because you need to know the tone, the timing, and also being able to call them to wisdom. Can you call them to wisdom? Whoever you're seeing is foolish. Can you realize you can go from foolish to wise very quickly? That was foolish. That was foolish. That was foolish. That was wise. Walk with the wise. Listen to wisdom. In here, the ability to discern God's will and orient one's life in accordance with that will. 2 Peter 3:18, this true knowledge, true knowledge, true knowledge. And where's our book going to end? But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Why? Because his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us through his own glory and excellence. You know what? I'm going to stop there. I get so excited. I got so much more to do here. So come back next week and we'll get